Translation. O friends, just think of the wives whose hands he has accepted, how they must have undergone vows, baths, fire sacrifices, and perfect worship of the Lord of the universe to constantly relish now the nectar from his lips by kissing. The damsels of Rajabhumi would often faint just by expecting such favors. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Religious rites prescribed in the scriptures are meant to purify the mundane qualities of the conditioned souls, to enable them to be gradually promoted to the stage of rendering transcendental service unto the Lord. Attainment of this stage of pure spiritual life is the highest perfection, and this stage is called Swarup, or the factual identity of the living entity. Liberation means renovation of this stage of Swarup. In that perfect stage of Swarup, the living being is established in five phases of loving service, one of which is the stage of Madhurya Ras, or the conjugal, or the humor of conjugal love. The Lord is always perfect in himself, and thus he has no hankering for himself. He, however, becomes a master, a friend, a son, or a husband to fulfill the intense love of the devotee concerned. Herein, two classes of devotees of the Lord are mentioned in the stage of conjugal love. One is Swakiya and the other is Parakiya. Both of them are in conjugal love with the personality of Godhead, Krishna. The queens at Dwarka were Swakiya, or duly married wives, but the damsels of Raja were young friends of the Lord while he was unmarried. The Lord stayed at Vrindavan till the age of 16, and his friendly relations with the neighboring girls were in terms of Parakiya. These girls, as well as the queens, underwent severe penances by taking vows, bathing, and offering sacrifices in the fire as prescribed in the scriptures. The rites, as they are not an end in themselves, nor are the fruitive action, culture of knowledge, or perfection in mystic powers ends in themselves. They are all means to attain the highest stage of Swarup, to render constitutional, transcendental service to the Lord. Each and every living being has his individual position in one of the above mentioned five different kinds of reciprocating means with the Lord. And in one's pure spiritual form of Swarup, the relation becomes manifest without mundane affinity. The kissing of the Lord, either by his wives or his young girlfriends who aspire to have the Lord as their fiancé, is not of any mundane, perverted quality. Had such things been mundane, a liberated soul like Shukadev would not have taken the trouble to relish them, nor would Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been inclined to participate in those subjects after renouncing worldly life. The stage is earned after many lives of penance. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Pripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bebacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas to be able to speak something relevant on this lofty topic, in the song Gauranga Bolite Habe, Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Rupa Raghunath Habe, Hoibe Okuti, Kabehama Bhujaba Se Yugala Priti. So what does that mean? It means that when shall I be very eager to study the books or the teachings of the Goswamis? So it's explained that to understand the pastimes of Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the gopis, or Krishna with his wives in Dwarka, these are very elevated and transcendental subject matters, and one has to study under the guidance of the parampara system, and one has to have the mercy of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, because without the blessings of the great acharyas, then one cannot understand these transcendental subject matters, and therefore, if one doesn't take a proper guidance upon approaching these topics, then one has a tendency to relate these activities to activities that go on in the material world. You know? So someone who is not properly trained and who doesn't understand from the proper source, then he will think, oh, you know, just like outside in the material world, you know, the girls are looking for boyfriends and the boyfriends are looking for girlfriends, you know. But they're trying to just enjoy each other. But they're trying to kind of like, it's based on lust rather than love. So these transcendental activities and pastimes that Krishna has with all the gopis, with Radharani, with all his wives in Dwarka, these are completely transcendental topics. And they're never to be considered mundane. So Srila Prabhupada was saying that in this material world, there is no love in this world. Mostly what we see in this world is lust, you know, because everything is based around one's own sense gratification, you know. Because we see something or we see someone and we think, okay, now how can this thing, you know, be utilized to gratify my senses, or how can this person be utilized to gratify my senses? So it's very, very rare. Prabhupada gives the example that, like a mother, she has so much love for a newborn child, and that is the closest example that we get to kind of unconditional love. But usually it's, you know, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. You know? It's like the business deal, you know. We see so many, I was noticing a lot of film stars and people, you know, who are very kind of rich and famous, you know, they seem to change partners quite regularly, you know. So it becomes a bit like musical chairs, you know. You know? So, but if it's true love, and then they wouldn't be changing, you know, kind of every 6 months, you know, to get a new partner. You know? So we used to do this drama. It's called Liquid Beauty. You know? So this man, and he comes and he sees this beautiful girl. So he wants the hand of this girl. So he goes to see the father of the girl, and he says, "Oh, you know, can I have the hand of your daughter in marriage? She's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen." You know? And I've fallen in love with her. So the girl said, the father says, "Yes, but yeah, and you can come back in 1 week." You know. So the father speaks to the girl, and then the girl, what she takes some purgatives or some laxatives and things like that. So what happens after 1 week? She's captured all her beauty in these pots. You know. you know. I don't want to be gross here. Anyway, it's in Prabhupada's books. He writes it. So then the man comes. He comes and he says, "Oh, Where's that girl, you know? And he said, no. And she said, I'm that beautiful girl, you know, that you saw last week. She said, no. She said, you know, the beautiful girl, you know. Where is she, you know? So then eventually she says, oh, you, my beauty is separated in these pots over here. So he goes to look in the pots. So then he becomes disgusted. You know? So in the material world, most people, they're after gratifying their own senses, you know. They're not thinking of the pleasure or the complete satisfaction of somebody else. And like Pranabandhu Prabhu, he's always like, I go with him preaching to the houses and do programs with him. So he's always making this point. He says that if you love someone, then how do you show that love? You know, you can say, oh, my darling, I love you so much, you know. But then, he said, the husband being out working all day, then he comes back, and the wife says, I love you, you know. And he says, well, where is there something to eat? She said, well, I didn't cook anything, but I still love you, you know. So in the next morning, he says, oh, where's my shirts, or is there any washing done? He said, well, I didn't do any washing, but I love you a lot. So then, you know, how long will it go on before... So he was making that point that actually love, we can say I love somebody or, you know, but that love is shown through service, you know. So if you love someone, then you serve them, you know, and that is the manifestation of that love in reality, you know. Otherwise, it's only lip service, you know, lip service, you know. It's like someone says, oh, I love you, and then the next day say, I don't love you, you know, like that. So that's kind of superficial. But the gopis, they are worshipped on the highest platform of devotional service because they are not ordinary, mundane living entities. They are very, very special living entities, transcendental. There was this one story where... I mean, Krishna doesn't have a headache, you know, but so Krishna, he enacted this pastime where he told Narad Muni, you know, my dear Narad, I've got a headache, you know. So Narad didn't go to the chemist to get some paracetamol, you know, but he said, what will cure your headache, my Lord? So he said, the dust from the feet of my pure devotees will cure my headache, you know. So Narad Muni said, immediately I'll go. So he went to the Vedic Brahmins, you know, who were very qualified and had performed many yajnas and sacrifices, and they knew all the verses of scripture. So he asked them, he said, Lord Krishna's got a headache, and the only thing that will cure his headache is dust from the feet of his pure devotees, you know. So he said, please, can I take some dust from your feet? And they said, no. They said, we can't give the dust of our feet to put on Lord Krishna's head. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the cause behind the whole cosmic manifestation. If we put the dust of our feet on his head, then we'll go to hell, you know? Yeah. So Narad Muni, so, okay, well, I'll have to look for someone else. So then he found the gopis. So he said to the gopis, my dear gopis, Lord Krishna has a headache, and they were very concerned. They wanted to help. And they said, what can we do? What can we do to help? So... Narad Muni said, Krishna needs the dust from the feet, from your feet, of his pure devotees. So the gopis, they started to get the dust of each other's feet, you know. And Narad Muni was quite surprised, you know. He said that the Brahmins didn't want to know, and then the gopis are getting the dust together, and he said, but don't you realize, if you put the dust from your feet on the head of the Supreme Lord, you may go to hell. And the gopis, smiling, they said, we'll happily go to hell if it cures Krishna's headache. You know? So then Narad Muni could understand that actually, although the gopis are simple village girls, they are, you know, not highly sophisticated, or they haven't, you know, they don't know all the verses of the Shastra, but they actually understand how to serve Krishna, and they have true love because it's completely unconditional. It's pure and without any tinge of any motive, you know. apart from to please Krishna. So that's why they are situated on the highest transcendental platform. And the gopis actually are worshipped. And in this verse, in the purport, it was saying that actually the gopis previously, they desired to be with the Lord in a previous pastime. So I'm going to read just a little bit. This is from Krishna book, and it's chapter 32, and it's titled Krishna Returns to the Gopis. So when Krishna entered the forest on the bank of the river Yamuna, the moonlight dissipated the surrounding darkness. Due to the season, flowers like Kunda and Kadamba were blooming, and a gentle breeze was carrying their aroma. Due to the aroma, the bees were also flying in the breeze, thinking that the aroma was honey. The gopis made a seat for Krishna by leveling the soft sand and placing covers. The gopis who were gathered there had almost all been followers of the Vedas. Shishivada Gokula Nandati Ki, Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumani Ki, Shishi Gornitai Ki. So, the gopis who were gathered there had almost all been followers of the Vedas in their previous births during Lord Ramachandra's advent. They had been Vedic scholars who desired the association of Lord Ramachandra in conjugal love. Ramachandra had given them the benediction that they would be present for the advent of Lord Krishna and he would fulfill their desires. During Krishna's advent, the Vedic scholars took birth in the shape of the gopis in Vrindavan as young gopis. They got the association of Krishna in fulfillment of their previous birth's desire. The ultimate goal of their perfect desire was attained. They were so joyous that they had nothing further to desire. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. If one attains the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he has no desire for anything else. So, although it seems they were just like simple village girls, but actually to have attained that position, to have taken birth in Vrindavan, and to be present in Krishna's pastimes, and engaging in those transcendental activities, they perform so many sacrifices, they perform so many yajnas, they perform so many austerities, and they've studied all the Vedas and chanted all the mantras in previous lives, you know. So it's like really amazing, because some people they just think, oh, these gopis, you know, like that. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada was saying that there are five rasas, relationships that one can have with Krishna. So can anyone tell me what those five are? We had hands up. Sakya Ras, which is? Friendship, okay. Anyone else? Vatsalya? Parental, yeah. Dasya, which is? Yeah, any more left? Shanta Ras, yeah, which is, and then one left, Madhurya, yeah, this is, they're talking about Madhurya here. Okay, so, I'm going to ask everyone, can you just name two personalities in each of the rasas, or who are exhibiting each of the rasas, and any two, you can put your hands up, you know. So in Shanta Ras, two personalities or two cows, yeah? Okay, yeah. Definitely the cows.
Grass.
Grass, yes. the grass is, you know, so Krishna can lie on the grass. So it says that in neutral ras, there's appreciation of Krishna's greatness, but they serve in a passive way. You know, so then dasya ras, two examples of any devotees in dasya ras. Sorry? Oh, okay. Raktak and Patra. Okay. So, servitorship, freedom. Servitorship means freedom from all material attachments and complete service attitude. You know? And then Sakya Ras. Who was that? Who was it? Carry on. Arjuna, definitely. Sakya Arjuna was a friend. Anyone? One other? Madhumangal, yeah. He used to steal the laddus and make noises with his armpits. And there was a pastime where they went stealing some things, and all the other gopas, they escaped, but Madhumangal was trying to get out the window, but he got stuck. So the gopis were beating him, and he was saying that, you know, if you don't let me go, you'll commit the sin of offending a Brahmin. You know? So then they were worried. So then he said that they needed to make 100,000 laddus to pacify him. And pastimes. And then Vatsalya. Mother Yashoda? Yeah, okay, one more. They are. Parental affection. And also that pastime where Lord Brahma, he got a bit puffed up, you know. So sometimes when you get power or you get position, sometimes it goes to your head, you know. So then you forget, you know, how your insignificance. So then Lord Brahma was thinking, who is this boy, you know, and let me test him out. So then Lord Brahma came, and he stole the cowherd boys and calves, and he put them in a cave under a spell. So then he went back to see what Krishna would do. And that, you know, just one moment of taking them away and coming back, that was 1 year in Vrindavan. So Krishna, he realized that Brahma had taken his calves and cowherd boyfriend. So Krishna, he manifested, he expanded himself as those exact same cowherd boys and calves. So during that year, the cows became so much more affectionate to their calves, you know, because those calves were actually expansions of Krishna. And the mothers of the cowherd boys, they became so much more attached and so affectionate. So, that's, and then the Madhurya Ras? Sorry? Lalita and Vishakha. Okay, so very nice. So, Vatsalya, ecstatic love, develops into relationship of parenthood, and Madhurya, Vatsalya is like superior, like mother, father, uncle. And then Madhurya Ras reflects sweetness, exquisite, transcendental beauty, love of God, and that is conjugal love, you know. So we have so like amazing pastimes with all these five rasas. So some people, what they try and do is they have this, it's called, you know, trying to run before you can even walk or crawl, you know. So sometimes you meet people, they say, well, you know, all the basics, you know, following regulative principles and chanting and observing all the vows and the principles of scripture and all that, that's okay. But I want the esoterics. I want the higher stuff, you know. So we had one time, many years back, a Gopi Bhava club, you know, like that. So, I mean, some personalities were like, some men were dressing up, you know, in ladies' clothes and wearing ankle bells and pretending to be gopis, you know. And somebody was even practicing being a peacock, you know. So they were trying to force it, you know. But actually, it's talking about Swarup in the purport. So the Swarup, the original Swarup, every living entity, every one of us has an original constitutional position that is unique to us. And only we fit into that Swarup in relationship to Krishna in the spiritual world. You know? So Raghunath Bhatta, he can tell you that in Scotland we had one very advanced disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Her name was Mother Ratna Ranjini, and she was very humble devotee. She was always in the background, always serving, but she never wanted any limelight, or she didn't like, give any classes, or she was just serving all the time. When Krishnadas Swami, he came up to Kurunabhavan, he was saying that, he said, this lady, I never see her sitting down, you know. She's always serving and serving in the background. So then at one point she got like a brain tumor, and the doctor said she has 6 months to live, you know. But she kind of survived for 2 years. But what happened to the latter stages of her life, she started to manifest some very incredible kind of symptoms. So normally somebody in that condition is in so much pain and they're just thinking about themselves, you know. But she was wanting to, she even became blind as well. So she was asking devotees, you know, please take me on Govardhan Parikram. So they would recite all the places of pastimes, you know, around Govardhan. And then she would, at the later stages, she even started to get glimpses of her Swarup. So she was starting to say, like, what kind of service that she was doing, you know, in Goloka. But she was, like, very, very humble. She wasn't, like, saying, oh, you know, I'm up there. So we said to her, so what service do you do? She said, I'm at Mother Yashoda's house, and we said, are you making Krishna's lunch? She said, no, I don't make Krishna's lunch. I just help. She says, like, I'm assisting, you know. And it was so sweet because it was devoid of false ego, you know. But then we get so many people that sometimes come up and they say, you know, I want to be this and that, and they're trying to jump the gun, you know. But actually, one devotee I was talking to some years back, I was telling him that instead of, like, you know, get deviated by, you know, get cheated by some people, and they're saying, oh, we can give you something special, you know, you come with us, you know. But if the process that Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas have given us, you know, if we simply adhere to this process very, very nicely with our heart, and we dedicate ourselves in this way, then eventually all the Lord's form, his qualities, pastime, entourage, everything will come. You know? So it's a very, very simple process. Everything comes from, Prabhupada gave us the holy name, and the holy name can render all benedictions to living beings according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we all have an eternal Swarup in the spiritual world, and only we fit into that. So then, but as we practice our devotional service sincerely, gradually, then Krishna will reveal that to us, you know, when the time is right. So I remember a time when I was in Vrindavan, and I was with some Scottish Yatra devotees, and we were doing some parikram, and we came to Shamakund and Radhakund. But we didn't have so much time, so we were, I was like, you know, I had my dhoti and kurta, and I had my shastra bag. And so we thought, instead of like, I just went to the one of the steps on the ghat at Shamakund, and I thought, I'll just kind of bow down, and I'll just take a few drops of water from Shamakund and put it on my head. You know? So then I went on the last step, and I was just trying to get some water, and then what happened is it was a bit mossy there, so I slipped. And then I went in with all my clothes and my Shastra bag into Shamakund. You know? So it was horrible. So one of the devotees said, "Oh, Krishna's, you know, he wants you to get the full mercy." You know, I said, "That's fine. I'm happy to, you know, Shamakund wants to call me in. That's great." But in my Shastra bag, some of you will know Mother Palindri, you know, in Kusum Sarovara. She's, you know, she's not somebody that you argue with, you know. So she had lent me her camera, nice, you know, SLR camera, and it was in my Shastra bag, you know. So I said to Mother Palindri, your camera's been blessed, you know, but she wasn't amused. So... Yeah, there was sometimes Krishna does some tricks, you know, so, but he said that, like Shamakund, Radhakund, you know, these places, they are the most sacred places within the whole universe, you know, because they contain, like Radhakund is like the waters of Radhakund, are like Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna in a liquid form, you know, liquid prem, you know. But, one can't go and reside there and pretend, you know, to be a Babaji, and unless one is actually on that level, one has to have the permission of one's spiritual master, and one has to be on a very advanced level. And Mohan Prabhu was saying yesterday in the class, that actually these temples are embassies to the spiritual world, you know. So we can go to Radhakund, we can go to Govardhan Hill, we can go to so many other places. But actually, if we are in the right consciousness, then wherever we are, when we are serving, then we are in Vrindavan consciousness. So Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So if you're always thinking of Krishna, and you're always thinking of Krishna's service, and you're engaged in that service, then you're always in Vrindavan. Otherwise, you can buy a ticket to Vrindavan, but you may not actually experience Vrindavan. You may experience, you know, some dirty place which is very polluted and too many buildings and this or that, because you see the external cover. You don't see the Chintamani Dham, you know. So that is revealed by the spiritual master and by the dint of one's sincere devotional service. So I think time's up now. I'll just say the last few words, and that is that we're all trying to come closer to Radha and Krishna and all their servants by performing this bhakti yoga process, a ninefold process of bhakti. And this mission, this Sankirtan mission that Srila Prabhupada has set up, is actually to bring all the living entities to come and dance with Krishna and Radha, you know. So when we're going out on book distribution, when we're going out preaching, when we're giving the holy names, or when we are serving the deities, we dress them so nicely that when people come, they become so attracted that they want to know, and the temple is so clean, and the gardens are so nice, and everything that we do, if we connect that with preaching, and to attract living entities back to Krishna, then we're inviting them to come and partake in the eternal rasa dance, you know. So if we are giving them the mercy, we're giving them availability to connect with Krishna, we also automatically are connected by doing that. So, okay, we'll have to stop there. I think it's a little bit late, so...